Good afternoon, evening, morning, GWA backstage, wherever it happens to be in the world for you. Welcome to another episode of Stranded in Paradise. Today we have Vashti with us. Hello, Vashti.
Hello.
Yay, I'm so excited.
Me too.
Vashti has said that she's listened to a few of these, so I will do the spiel for any listeners that are new to the podcast. But this is a situation in which we are about to strand our hapless victim, or guest, I don't know, depends on how much she enjoys being stranded. and I will give you your brief. Unforeseen circumstances have led to your unfortunately indefinite isolation in this paradise. You, of course, were foresighted enough to have basic supplies, some tools and rations and a few luxuries, but you have no idea where you have ended up. So there's your brief, same as it is for everybody, with different paradises. So I guess the first thing really is always to find out, fictional or real, where are you? Describe what you see. What is paradise to you?
It's going to be some mountainous area with pine trees and stuff, probably.
Right. not a beach thing. We've had a few beaches.
No, I'm not. My idea of paradise would not be the beach, so it would have to be some kind of mountain range of some sort where there are critters, probably. Like trees, and it snows sometimes.
Oh, snow. Oh, though in a survival situation, snow might be a bit of a challenge. All right,
yes.
I'm just going to furiously scribble notes. Ignore me. Okay, so I always like to know kind of when people end up stranding themselves in whatever kind of situation they found themselves in, what your home base looks like. So with all the time on your hands, you've kind of got nothing else to do, you've got some rations, so no immediate need for food. What kind of shelter do you build? What does home base for you?
Do I have to build it? So this is the question. If I have to build it with my own two hands, then it's like some kind of terrible ease up that's like a twig with a some kind of weaved leaf roof or something, if we're being honest. Building with my hands is not my strongest suit. If I happen upon some kind of, you know, old hunter's cabin, I would just take it over. That's my hope, is that I would just happen upon some old hunting cabin that maybe needs some small repairs to the roof.
Right. Chase out the raccoons. I'm sure it'd be fine.
Right.
I'll let you have
it. I don't need it to be perfect. I'm fine cleaning it up. That's fine. Awesome. I get that it's abandoned.
I think cabins are becoming a thing. I think LB had a cabin. Although he ended up adding a jacuzzi to it, so who knows.
Oh.
I don't know. So what if you find an abandoned cabin and you chase out the resident wildlife and sort of fix it up so that it's kind of stay worthy, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most important thing for your home base? Whether it's kind of something that you've brought with you, or something that you found, or that has to be there for you to be able to kind of call it home.
I would need some type of place to sit and be comfortable. So I would say, hopefully, I brought some pillow and blanket for myself. Mm-hmm. So that, and then I would like there to be a source of heat in the form of a fireplace or fire pit.
Let's
or
hope
fire.
You're going to get snowed in.
Right. There's a chance that's happening.
Just an outside chance.
I mean, I'm currently snowed into my house now, so.
Oh, no.
Not fully, but a little bit.
We don't really get snow in the UK. Or if we do, the whole country shuts down. It's awful. You can't cope. So, do you end up with snow quite a lot? Is that a thing that happens every year? Or
oh yes, yes. I live just down the. I live at the mouth of the canyon. We have ski resorts and stuff. So
oh wow,
it's a regular life of snow.
Regular life
for
of
like 3 months out of the year, we get snow, or sometimes later. Oh, wow. Just depends. But yeah,
awesome. Okay, given that you and sort of live in an environment where there's a lot of snow. Is that is somewhere to be comfy the most important thing in your kind of current environment where you live now?
Yes, absolutely. I like quiet time reflection and stuff, and I have a tendency to work really hard when I work at things, and so it's important to me to have a place to recharge.
Right.
So I would need that surviving as well, because I'd have to spend time during the day trying to figure out how I'm going to live.
Kind of meditate on the subject of survival.
Right.
Useful use of time. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Okay, to help you maybe, or just to keep you company, you can tame one animal from your mountainous environs. So what do you choose? What kind of pet do you want?
I want one of those snow leopards.
Yay!
You know, like, this is the one I'm talking about. You'll understand. I want one that, like, exactly like I could get outside of Ironforge.
Oh, yes. Oh.
That's what I want.
Yay.
But as a cub, I would like to please tame it as a cub.
I think you'd have trouble taming, like, a fully adult snow.
Oh, I don't know. I'm pretty good with cats.
Yes. All right. Good luck. Enjoy that process. Most reclusive animal on Earth. Excellent.
Right. I'm pretty amazing.
Fabulous. Oh, and I wouldn't worry about sounding like a dork. You've seen the list of people we've had on this show so far, right?
Well.
Okay, so by way of entertainment, at least mm-hmm. for the short term, you had enough time to download two audios from GWA to bring with you. So which ones did you choose?
I hate this question, and I knew it was coming.
Oh, it's always the one. When I wrote this, I did not think that this was going to be such a bone of contention.
I want three.
Three?
Yeah.
Tell me what the three are, and I'll tell you whether or not you can have them.
Okay, I want one that was done at my request.
Uh-huh.
That Secret did for me for Christmas.
Oh, was it a request or was it part of Secret Santa?
It wasn't Secret Santa. I had messaged him early in the month and asked him if he would consider doing one that was like a relationship role play Christmas morning thing.
Uh-huh, right.
So he did, and it's great, obviously.
Awesome.
So there's that. But if you couldn't take personalized, which I could understand, then that...
Take
whatever.
What you want. LB ended up taking a 5-hour long BDSM panel with him that he did
right.
with him and like 5 other people on backstage. So I'm not going to say you can't take personal.
Right. Okay. And then there's this, which I just totally said a lot about the beach, but if I'm going to be up there in the mountains, you know, where there won't be like beachy stuff, sure. There's this beach audio that 808 Seduction did. And you can hear waves and stuff.
Ooh, sound effect.
It might be nice to have that, so I'd like to have that.
Right.
And then recently, Bourbon Neat did one that
Do you
was
know
called.
What? I thought he would come up a lot sooner than he did.
Can I take his whole catalog?
No.
Seriously. Like, that would be one of the things I'd miss the most.
No, well, given that this is his first appearance. on Stranded in Paradise, I will allow you to take it as your bonus third, but you have to choose one of Bourbon's catalog.
I'll take his most recent, the one that's it's called like I Need You Now or something.
Oh, the one with the babysitter.
But the yes, with
not
the babysitter.
That I, no, not that I've watched this.
Not that you've heard it.
Moving on.
Not that I've listened to it so many times I have it almost memorized. Let's just not throw that out there.
Okay, fabulous. So
I'm blushing, hold on.
I'm curious to this. By extension then, which TGWA members have you brought with you to your mountain?
Oh, I don't know. Well, let's just throw it out there. I'll just take him.
Just take Bowman. All right.
What I mean, we just spent the last 2 minutes talking about his audios. Might as well take him.
Fine. Fair enough. First rounding for him. Good.
Mm-hmm. And then... I think I need... There's this member, Ernie 55555. He has 5 fives on his...
Fives, yes.
Yes. He sings, and he's funny.
Right.
And he has the accent. I would like to take him.
All right, good.
For entertainment value.
Brandy
and
standings
also,
for both.
Whatever.
Excellent. Fabulous. I would, to be honest, Cap stranded Mr. Tinkles for pure entertainment purposes, so I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, he had Tink, like, narrating his morning routine, so I... If you want to have any triple five, whatever, how many fives?
Well, let's be honest, they're both for entertainment value.
Oh, let's just leave that there. That's fine.
Right.
So you're up kind of quite far away from civilization, or you're going to have to be in order to be stranded.
Right.
So this is kind of the final question that I ask everybody. What sounds do you think, while you're in your cabin, might keep you awake at night?
Unknown animals. Animals that I can't place what that sound is.
Right.
That would keep me up. Trying to figure it out would scare me a little bit especially until I got used to those noises. Yeah. Or, you know, if somehow there were new noises, any new noises that I was not used to would scare me.
That's right, you've got two strapping lads with you now. So what would you find kind of the opposite to that? What would be soothing to you, either during kind of the night or in the daytime?
I like the thing about being in the mountains that I like so much is how quiet it sounds.
Sure.
So the quiet, and then any, like, I really like the sound of rain, of nature sounds. So if there happened to be a stream, that would be really comforting. Or but that kind of, it's almost quiet, but it's just the sound of being in the forest.
Sure.
That sound, that would be comforting.
Mm, no, I feel the same. So, I'm curious as to, since you're stranding yourself here, whether or not you've chosen kind of like an American mountain range, or for something kind of new, like a European one, or somewhere completely unknown. Would you want the comfort of knowing kind of the familiar plants and familiar trees and things like that, or would you want the challenge of kind of being familiar?
That's a really good question. I had not thought about that. I think I would like the challenge
of the unfamiliar. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even want to narrow it down to, let's say, Canada or something. I would want it to be
vastly different. Yeah,
yeah, like if I'm going to be stranded there. I mean, indefinitely, which is what you said, right? So then having a lot of new stuff to discover will fill the space of time.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well thought. all right. So you've got your cabin all set up. It's patched up. You have your companions with you. Your snow leopard cub.
Right.
and et cetera. What's the first thing you do? Kind of once you've secured yourself a source of food, you've kind of made sure that you're safe, you've got a fireplace that works, you have a source of firewood. What's the first thing you do?
I've already found water, fresh water.
Yeah. Because yeah, that's kind the of number basic one. Kind of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the kind of basic things at the bottom there, like your safety and your kind of health are taken care of. So the kind of the first thing you do once you've gotten to that point.
I would probably start to come up with a routine for my days. So I like structure.
Right. That's something that you find yourself doing at home.
Yes, I gain a lot of comfort out of regular routine. So, I mean, I guess I probably would have done that beforehand, to be honest.
Right.
Because that would help me find all those things. But I would do that and then start to explore as far out as I could to see how far out I could consider my space outside of the cabin.
Yeah. Have you, it's sort of curious, but have you ever gotten yourself into a situation where you really kind of felt out of your depth? Because you weren't in routine, or you had kind of found yourself ill-prepared for a situation or the consequences of a situation?
Oh, I definitely have in my life. I drove from one side of the U.S. to the other, and I thought I had it all planned out, but everything went wrong.
Oh, no.
So I've had that happen. I had my cat in the car, and it was like 3 days, I think, or 4 days in the car, because, you know, our country's huge.
Yeah.
So, that was terrible. And desert camping is not the same as camping in the mountains, by the way. So, in case anybody ever tries to tell you otherwise, they're lying. And so, I went desert camping with some friends several years ago, and I just was way more prepared for being in the mountains and not being hot and dusty and scorpions and stuff. I was not quite prepared.
Oh, it always frightens me. Oh, I know I've said this before in Stranded in Paradise, but the worst thing in the UK that we have to deal with are, like, hedgehogs.
Like, really?
We don't have anything poisonous. Nothing that really bites. We got the odd thing. But, like, they're so rare. We've got adders, for example. Snakes.
Right.
They're so rare. But I've never seen one, and I spend a lot of time in the woods. So, yeah, I don't know. But the whole idea of camping in a desert and having to deal with scorpions just as part of the routine of being out.
And weird bugs that you've never seen before. You know? Like, yeah. I was not happy camper.
I went camping. Well, camping is a bit of a strong word. I went to a friend's cabin in Michigan a few years ago. And I was gathering wood for the outside fire, really. We were going to have a campfire and do kid stuff like make s'mores, I think. And I picked up a piece of dry wood, and a spider the size of my palm ran away from me.
Now, oh my gosh.
I don't have very big palms. I have tiny child hands. But it was still big enough that it really made me... I hate spiders, but it didn't come towards me, so I didn't freak out. But it just made me think, you don't... Just stop. You need to be a lot more careful, because you don't know what the fuck is under this undergrowth. Like, I know you're in a cooler state, but at the same time, if you get bitten by something out here, you're going to know absolutely nothing about what bit you. It really, yeah. really actually made me think, just step back a bit from this situation.
We have scary spiders here too, so.
Well, none of our spiders bite in the UK. My housemate lesson, squealed like a girl the other day. I came running in, and he was like, "There's a spider!" And I was like, "I don't know what you want me to do about it." But it was sat on the wall. It sat on the wall above his bed. Big brown house spider. No threat to anybody.
No threat. Harmless.
Except his dignity, perhaps. But right. One of those that's so big that when it ran, you could hear it running on the wall. Yeah. And I don't know whether our shadow caught it or what. Normally, my other half is responsible for the spiders in this house. He's the only one that will go anywhere near them. And he was gone. He was out. So this thing fell off the wall behind my housemate's bed and dropped down to the floor. And we didn't freak out or anything, because it didn't immediately appear from under the bed. But we exited the room with some dignity intact, shut the door, and my housemate just went, "Well, we'll never speak of that room again. I'm going to move into the kitchen."
That would be me. It's worse for me when they go to a place that I can't see them.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because then I lay in bed and think, it's crawling on me. It's going to crawl on me as soon as I fall asleep.
Yeah.
Anyway, spiders. They're probably in my mountain cabin, to be honest.
Yeah, almost certainly. So what do you do to mitigate that threat? Like, have you got a spider strategy? How do you get rid of
them? You know, this is a really weird question for me, because I don't actually want to kill them.
No, me neither. I always try and get them out alive.
Because I feel, I try to, like, I usually just suck it up, right? I'm like, you know what, it's just, it's more scared of me than I am of it, honestly. And so I just, like, kind of talk myself into it, and then I try to do that gentle scoopy thing with a cup and, like, a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And then I take it outside, and I usually tell it, "You can't live here. You have to go find a new home." Let it go.
Aww.
I don't think it works.
No, almost certainly.
And I realize how ridiculous it sounds. But for me, I feel like it's just trying to live a life.
Yeah.
It doesn't deserve to be killed just because it's trying to live its life.
Yeah. We're a spider-friendly household. Spider-tolerant.
Tolerant. I would say tolerant at my house as well. But I mostly don't see them because my cats are probably taking care of that situation.
Okay, spider strategies aside. Oh, the other thing we do is we have a shed at the bottom of the garden. If I've got one in a cup, which I almost never do because, as I said, it's my other half's responsibility, he'll take them down to the end and kind of shimmy them under the shed, and hopefully they stay under there. Almost certainly not, but I like to believe that they stay under.
That works for me. I will support that theory. No problem.
Okay, so if you have kind of secured all your needs and you've got your kind of exploratory zone sorted out,
mm-hmm.
How do you go about alleviating boredom? I mean, you know, your companions aside.
Right.
Who you've chosen.
I was just going to say, who's bored?
I mean, yeah, that can be your answer if you like, but is there anything else that you do?
Would this include anything I brought with me?
Sure, if you want, as long as it's not, you know, like a piano.
No, I would say that I would have remembered to bring knitting needles. So, and probably some kind of a certain amount of yarn, not a lot because I wouldn't have brought a lot, but hopefully I would find a way to create some in my new place. But so I would knit. I also, as I've mentioned, I also meditate and I like to spend a lot of time alone too. So I don't get bored very easily.
Excellent.
I guess. And I would hike and stuff and like try to figure out plants and like maybe draw, even though I have no talent for it. I don't know what I've drawn.
The time in the world to develop a talent.
Right. It, so. Exactly. Maybe one of my companions knows how to draw and I don't know about it. Maybe they're going to teach me.
Let's tag them, so you don't know. Do you find yourself doing weird stuff when you say that you spend a lot of time alone? Do you like sing in the shower or make weird faces in the mirror and stuff? Like when you're alone? I do it all the
time. I talk to myself and my cats. And sometimes I just make random weird noises when I'm walking around my house and stuff. And I play loud music and sing at the top of my lungs in my house. Yeah. I think those are weird things.
No, I don't think. I think maybe we tend to judge them as weird, but I think if you asked anybody, we go, oh no.
Well, and I've been a single girl living on my own for a fair amount of my life because I just prefer my life that way. And so I think I'm really comfortable just kind of letting myself be as weird as I can when I'm alone, you know?
I think that's good to be comfortable in your own company, I think.
I think so, too. I think it's a really important thing in life, actually. On a very serious note, let's get deep. I think being able to enjoy your own company is probably the most important component of a happy life, to be honest.
The lesson is, if you take one lesson away from this whole series, let it be that one. Because you're not going to learn anything from Cap or Bear, so...
Because I'm so wise.
Cap, Bear... I think you're doing all right in the wise takes. All right, so let's go on to some questions about sort of survivability.
Okay.
Scenarios. Let's call it scenarios.
Oh, okay.
Do you fish? If there's a sort of a lake or a stream that's kind of filled with fish, but you don't have any kind of fishing equipment, how do you go about getting a catch?
I'd have to be there a long time and starving before I wanted to have fish.
Really?
I do not eat fish currently, but I realize that being stranded somewhere, I would have to give up some of that at a certain point. I would probably be hungry enough to eat anything.
Right. Are you vegetarian or is it just fish?
I am.
Right.
I would try to begin to come up with some kind of garden. If I knew I was going to be somewhere and be stranded, I would hope I would have thought to bring some kind of seeds.
Right. And there's also, there's a hilarious amount of food that you can forage for. But we just, I hear about these people being stranded in like a forest, surrounded by food, but starving to death. Because they just don't know. I think of mushrooms and so many kind of wild versions that don't look anything like what you'd buy in a supermarket, but things like wild radishes or wild cabbages that look nothing like their original kind of, or their...
And wild greens you can eat that you wouldn't know about.
Yeah.
You know. Herbs. I mean, protein, you'd be hurt for protein.
Yeah, that would be my worry, I think.
But there's a lot of protein in dark greens, so if you could find some really dark green vegetables, you'd have to eat a lot of them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, dark green leaves and stuff, that'd probably work. But I mean, I understand that being stranded at some point, I'd probably have to... I could probably go poultry. I could have them shoot down birds or something. Slingshot down. Ooh, we're going to make slingshots. Let's make slingshots, because that's how we should take down birds for food.
Awesome. That's, yeah, okay. I like the idea of the, like, you having a new sport.
Like, yes, that's what I was just thinking. Like, it's another form of entertainment, you know. I'll sit up there like, you know, like the queen, and they will play sports for me.
Have them joust for your entertainment.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like a ring, you know, some kind of ring. Not anything where anybody gets hurt. No, no, no. And I'll have like a scarf, and I'll be like, you can wear my colors today, and I'll like tie it on there.
Jousting is going down as your tag. Lovely. I love the idea of it. Oh, it's
competing. This is the weirdest place, the weirdest cabin.
Oh, it's amazing. I really like it already. So there's probably quite a lot of protein actually that you can get from, like. So here is where my wild food knowledge kind of falls down a little bit, because I've no problem fishing and eating fish. Mm-hmm. I've never really considered it. But is there like a freshwater version of like shellfish where you don't really have to, like freshwater mussels or something like that, where you don't really have to chase it down? And it's,
I think there are crawfish in freshwater.
Oh, there you go. Something like that. Would that be somewhere that you started, or would you want to start somewhere like a big trout or something like that?
Not trout. I would hope that there was maybe something less fishy than trout.
Right.
Like a... I don't even know. I don't know fish that well. I would say maybe there's salmon.
Right.
Because that seems the most friendly food-wise.
Oh, no. If you're in the right place, you just need to hold a net out. I mean, you could knit yourself a net.
Right.
And just hold
it. Well, I've watched a lot of Survivor. Most of the seasons of Survivor. So I know that we could come up with some kind of spear.
Right.
So let's say, yeah. Especially on Survivor, they always do this weird spear thing where they have, like, elastic, and then there's, like, a spear, and then they pull it back, and then it shoots really fast. Hmm. So also, on the slingshot thing, so there would be, like, a fishing slingshot for the spear. Oh, no. Somebody's gonna comment and be like, that doesn't really work.
I think somebody's gonna comment and go, just if you've got yarn, just make a fishing pod, like a fishing rod.
Yeah, definitely that.
It's fine. All right, so if you so you mentioned knitting needles, but what are the sort of three most important tools that you'd want to have with you?
Tools, like for use.
Yeah. I mean, and anything can be a tool. I'm shouting back to LA, got her margarita machine. I mean, technically that's a tool, right? So what are the three most important utility items that you have with you?
I would want some type of... that's hard. Knitting needles don't really count because I wouldn't want to ruin them by using them as a tool. Mm-hmm. I would hope that I had, like, a Leatherman or a Swiss Army knife.
Right. That's good. I imagine that knife would be pretty important. Survival.
Yes. I mean, you could do the whole stone sharpening thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever. But, so that, let's say Leatherman rather than Swiss Army knife.
Right.
And then I would like a basic little sewing kit. Uh-huh. Like one you throw in your purse.
Yeah.
Because it has needles and it has a couple of things that I think would be helpful with those little scissors and stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
And these are really boring things.
That's fine. I'm so tempted to say, well, yeah, you can have a hairdryer.
I don't need one. I don't dry my hair. So.
Me neither.
I have naturally curly hair, so it doesn't actually really help very much.
Oh, no,
so.
But that might be another form of entertainment.
Good point. Oh, you know what? I would like to have an actual hair tie for my hair. And not have to use some kind of string. So just one. Like,
well, you'd want more than one, because those things wear out.
I know, but you said three tools. If I can have a pack.
You can have a pack.
All right.
One of these packs that comes with...
of, like, 50.
Yeah. Because those... I remember having long hair. I used to have hair that I could sit on.
Wow.
just trying to keep it up. Those elasticated hair bands. Mm-hmm. They just... You'd end up with, like... the elastic wouldn't give, but the end would come out of the little metal clasp on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd end up with this weird bit of long cotton attached to the end. Oh, they look so scraggy. It's awful. Oh.
I buy the ones that have the knot in them that are like flat ribbons, but stretchy.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the best because my cats eat the other ones. The little skinny ones, they'll just chew those up like food. I'm not even kidding.
Don't
it's
give
disgusting.
Any hair ties to your snow cub. I think that might be a bit of a problem. Okay. So what's your biggest fear? You've got your cabin, you've got your food, you've got your stream and all that kind of stuff. What's your biggest fear now that you're stuck here?
Well, death. Seriously.
I'm going to say, which form of dying are we talking about? Is there a particular kind of worry?
I would say poisoning probably would be my biggest fear, is not taking any precaution and then ending up just poisoning myself by eating something. Or
do you think you'd sort of end up in a situation where you sort of had analysis paralysis, I guess you'd call it, where you sort of don't want to take the risk of eating something new?
I think I would have moments of that because I have had anxiety in my life.
Sure.
So I could see myself paralyzing myself with fear for a certain amount of time until the pain of staying afraid was greater than the risk of trying it.
Have you have you ever gotten to that point? Have you ever eaten something that's made you really sick?
I've never had food poisoning.
Right.
But I haven't had meat for a long time.
Right.
And I did eat something about a couple of years ago, and I found out later it had bacon in it, and I found out because I was not feeling well.
Yeah, why?
Because I couldn't even process, you know.
That said, but rice is awful for getting food poisoning if you eat leftover rice that's been...
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
You should always be really careful about how you store leftover rice, because it...
After it's been cooked, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. There was a whole... When Indian takeaways first started opening in the UK, there was a kind of... And this was like in the decades ago. There was a whole thing about how Indian food would make you really sick, but it was people actually getting sick from not storing the rice correctly. Like, if they'd had like a Indian food the night before.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. That's another lesson to take. You're learning all sorts of things today.
I know. It's like learning hour on Stranded in Paradise with Ara and Vashti.
Yay! We should have a whole different theme here.
We should put in our thing, and you should put in the description something like, today's episode has been brought to you by the letter L for learning, or something.
Oh, Sesame Street Stranded in Paradise.
Right?
Oh, my brain cogs are going now. I'm going to stop right there. Okay, because I know at least one member who can do an amazing Elmo impression.
Oh, I do love some Sesame Street impressions.
Yeah, I do feel like stranding some of the Sesame Street members. Oh. There are too many different anniversary editions of this thing that I can do. Alright.
Alright. Back on track. I don't know how to stay on track, by the way. So
no, me neither. It's a terrible idea for me to be doing a podcast, but there you go. You're quite crafty then, and I mean that.
I'm a bit crafty.
Crafty, like
I'm not creative. Okay. But I And more of a MacGyver kind of crafty.
Okay, so how might you fashion new clothes for yourself once you're kind of... The outfit that you arrived in has really gotten... It either needs washing or it's gotten to the point where it's just threadbare and you can't wear it anymore. So how do you go about making new clothes for yourself?
Well, I'm assuming they're probably mountain sheep and mountain goats.
Ah, I would have thought so.
And so I would find a way to shear them and then spin my own yarn and knit my clothing.
Ah. Is there... I wonder if there is a way you can MacGyver a spinning...
Absolutely. Wheel. They have these... It's you don't need a wheel. They have these drop spindles.
Oh, and I've seen those. Yes.
Yeah. And you just need a weight. Mm-hmm. And then, like, a some kind of spindle. And you would tie it to the end and you drop it and it spins. So it might take me a little while to figure it out, but I was interested in spinning for a while, so
right.
I've researched it, so I have the knowledge.
This fabulous image of the boys that you have stranded with you, like
spinning yarn.
hammering in like a fenced area next to the cabin, and then like finding you sheep, like mounted, like bringing
That's
back.
That's so happening.
Like, right, we've got some sheep. Like, putting them in this pen. And then you spinning yarn while they joust for you.
Right. And I'm just knitting casually.
Oh my god, it's like a dystopic future. It's amazing. Oh, okay. What non-technological form of entertainment would you like to, if you had some sort of power source, be it solar or whatever, what non-technological form of entertainment would you like to have with you? And I'm put an addendum on this. You can't have the internet.
Oh.
So no communication device because you could just.
I would want some type of music. Mm-hmm. With, but you know, even if it was that we had found some old record player. Something and random records, and they were the same ones we had to listen to all the time. I'd be okay with that. I just love music. I'd really need some in my life.
So if you could have an iPod with one album on it, what album would you choose?
It would either be Led Zeppelin 1 or 2. No doubt.
I have a friend who has family in kind of rural England and went to a Christmas carol kind of service at a local church with his family and was singing, but something was niggling his brain while mm-hmm. he was singing, and realized about halfway through this carol service that he was stood behind Robert Plant.
Oh my gosh.
Kind of singing away.
I almost just fainted a little bit.
Oh, he's a really nice guy, actually.
I'm sure he is. Oh, deep love. It's hard because I would also want to pick some kind of Maynard tool or something, but I couldn't, to think of living my whole life without listening to Led Zeppelin is probably the worst nightmare ever.
Oh, all right, you can have that iPod. I can't say no to that. That's awesome. Okay. Okay. So, then I wonder, who do you think would emerge as the leader of your, this little group?
Me. In a real world situation, I am always in charge, always taking control, and I handle everything.
Right.
In my day-to-day life.
Sure.
There are other areas of my life where that's not the case.
Yeah. Just moving on from that. It's fine. Okay. So, do you think there would be a kind of a power struggle? How would you resolve that?
Well, I would assume that they would first off probably not be very happy that I had stranded them away from people they love and their lives. So, but I'm a big talker of feelings, so I would hope that we could have group therapy sessions and stuff.
Aww.
And like be really honest about our feelings and just learn how to live a life together as people living a life side by side together.
Sure.
You know, respectfully.
Just, like, sitting in the different corners of the cabin with their arms folded. No, you brought me here. You just hug it out. It's fine.
Right. Well, that would be the end of the day every day. Let's just hug it out. Just knock it out.
It'll be like an episode of you know, a morality show of some kind. You know, where somebody learns a really important lesson at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. The after school special.
Yeah, the after school special. That's the one. Mm-hmm. So, I love this question. What guilty pleasure might you have with you that you'd want to keep away from the others? Whether it's a supply of something or a, an item or whatever it ends up being. What do you think you might want to hide?
Hide.
Or like keep to yourself, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd probably take some trashy romance novel.
Yeah.
And just like hide it under my pillow at night.
It's almost better because you can hide those.
Like if they're better because you hide them.
Yes, exactly. It's yes. Like nobody would care. If they found it, they'd just be like, What are you exactly. reading? But yeah, if you try and keep the whole process of keeping them hidden, I think, is, mm-hmm. is part of their appeal. Pretty certain that's how it goes with teenage pornography as well.
Mm, yes, well, that was my teenage pornography.
It's kind of because it's taboo.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. I mean, it was when I was that age. That would have been a huge deal if my parents had known.
Right. So if you find on your explorations one day, mm-hmm. you find a cave or a tunnel that looks like kind of branches away into the darkness, do you explore it or do you just leave it alone?
If we have fire, mm-hmm. portable fire, in the form of a torch, lantern, etc., mm-hmm. I would go only with somebody.
Right.
And my leopard.
Awesome.
I would not go there alone. I'm not that kind of adventurous at all. I'd be fine never knowing what's down there.
Right. So you don't tend to seek out kind of adventure in your day-to-day life, do you think?
Oh no, only calculated adventure.
Right.
Where it can have some kind of idea of what the outcome could possibly be, or like if I can reason out, it could either be this, this, or this, and I'm okay with all three scenarios, I'm fine going there. But if I can't reason out what all the possible solutions are, I probably won't, because I just don't know. No.
No, that's fine. What are you missing from home? What's the thing that it kind of is the epitome of your home environment that you would be missing completely right now? That you'd be
like a material thing?
Yeah, or an abstract thing, really. Something that reminds you that you are home. Something that you're pining for now.
My mom. Hmm. My everything about my relationship with my mom.
Right.
That'd be devastating.
Sure. And is your relationship with your mum to the point where if you kind of went on vacation, you'd let her know that you were safe and stuff like that?
I talk to my mom several times a day, every single day. Right. I would. But she's not only my mom, she's my friend and my confidant, so sure. If I go on vacation, there's a good chance she's with me. You yeah. know what I mean? Yeah. So.
How do you think she'd deal with being stranded? Would you strand her too?
She would be awesome. My mom's very, like, of the earth and, like, spiritual and stuff, and she's very, like, really spiritual. She spends hours in meditation every day, so she would have no freaking problem being out there alone. Right.
Let's strand your mom, too. I think that's
all right.
Stranded in Paradise first.
That's okay. Fine.
All right. So what else are you missing, since you've got your mom with you?
Oh. Interesting. I guess I would miss, you know, the civilized part of the world mm-hmm. a bit. I would. I live in the city now, mm-hmm. so... As much as I have, that's my ultimate goal, is to retire somewhere in the country or something. I would miss the comforts that come along with civilization.
Right. Do you have a favorite restaurant chain or something that would be like, that you'd get real cravings for?
Oh, you know, some places, I haven't found a good one in the city I currently live in, but my mom used to live in Albuquerque, and randomly they had this Thai restaurant down there that was good.
Right.
But there's this yellow Thai curry that has potatoes in it. I love it so much. And I don't think we'd be able to recreate that in the mountains. We wouldn't even have those spices around. And the coconut milk and stuff, I love it so much. I would definitely, definitely miss that. And cheese.
Oh, cheese.
I love cheese. Cheese was my vegan downfall.
So that's it. So, you're shearing sheep that Bob and Ernie have managed to catch for you. There's no real reason you couldn't use them for milk.
That's true. That's a good point.
It's a protein source, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how might you signal for help? I mean, this is an easier question. If you're on a desert island and you have a beach to write a big help sign on, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a mountainous kind of forest area, how do you go about kind of raising alarm?
I think I'd have to go the old style smoke signals kind of idea, because we would have an outdoor fire of some sort. Mm-hmm. And then maybe once one of us learned how to climb trees, maybe there'd be a way to kind of get up there and fashion some kind of... What am I trying to... Let's see. Maybe I'll knit like... Oh, this is the best idea. Okay, so I will knit like a blanket.
Right.
With help in it. And then somehow we will traverse these trees, four of them, and tie it so that it's flat on top of the trees. So if anybody flies over, they can read it.
That is, you say you're not creative. Honestly, that's probably the most creative signal raising.
And I just realized that all of the yarn's going to be the same color, so we're going to have to find some type of berries and stuff so that we can dye different colors of yarn, too.
There's so many things you can use to dye. Natural dye.
I know.
And it's dyeing is a really easy process, too. If you can create heat,
mm-hmm.
That's fine. Great. Okay, so you've been... your blanket has been red.
Okay.
You have been in a sort of an unknown party appears on the... I would say on the horizon. Through the trees.
Okay. We heard them coming 2 days ago because they were breaking branches.
I think, are they here yet? No. Just get some rest. It'll be fine.
Yes.
Do you flag them down? Do you go back to civilization or do you stay put?
Yeah, I would.
You'd go back.
Yeah, there's too much about my life that I love.
Sure.
That the indefinite thought of not... see my nephews grow up, or, you know, like in a real world situation, I'd come back. I have too much in my life that I love. There's no way, I don't think, depending on how long we, well, no, because if staying there meant being there indefinitely and leaving meant that I could, you know, be back.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would go.
Does wilderness appeal? Does it, the idea of it?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So, coming back to civilization, coming back to the world as is,
mm-hmm.
that you've been missing for however many months. So what keeps you coming back to GWA here?
Well, I think, if we're all honest, it's the validation, I think. There's something that... is being fed within, and maybe this isn't this case for everybody, so I won't say that, that's not fair, but for me, something in me is fed in a way that I haven't had before,
right,
since I started posting on GWA, and whether that's a little piece of my self-esteem or self-confidence or just a part of me that I didn't really realize was attractive that I do now,
right,
that I don't really want to give up. I like that feeling.
Yeah.
And it's an innocent, relatively innocent, harmless way of getting that feeling.
Yeah.
So I'd rather... It reminds me of when I used to use, like, substances to feel more comfortable in my own skin, except that it without any of the negative impact, really.
Uh-huh. Sure. So you, as a contributor to GWA...
Yes.
Have been posting relatively a lot recently. Do you... Have you got anything in the works that you're excited about producing or that you want to plug in advance or anything like that?
Oh, that makes me feel like pressure.
Don't feel pressure.
I always have kind of a little group of ideas. I've, I like to write just in my personal life outside of GWAN work and stuff. And so I kind of had this idea that maybe I'm going to write something. Most of everything I do is improv because I feel like I'm not good on the script level as far as recording one. I don't know what it is. I've recorded them and I never post them, but so I would kind of like to really write a solid script probably for myself and then post it as a script for other people. So I would say that's probably hopefully coming by my birthday in March. So hopefully.
Oh, look out for it. Excellent. Well, well done for surviving being stranded. You went full circle, ended up back here with us on the internet. And the rest of our netizens here.
And we didn't even get taken out by the snow out there.
No, not even a little bit. I completely forgot about the snow. Damn it. Never mind. I'll remember for another Stranded in Paradise. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Beth.
Thank you so much.
Absolute fun. Thank you for listening, GWA Backstage. We will have another victim for you very shortly. In the meantime, keep enjoying everything that people produce here for you and keep producing such wonderful things. You're absolutely brilliant. Thank you.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thanks so much.